Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Forever in friendship and labor, our mighty republics will ever endure. The great Soviet Union will live through the ages, the dream of a people, their fortress secure. Long live our Soviet motherland!
Everybody now. Everybody now. Everybody. Everybody now. Get ready with the. There we are. There we are. One more time. One more time. All right, Savage Nation, on the count of three, I want you all to get ready to go, This is the new Barack Hussein Obama America. And a one, and a two, and a three. Well, we did this yesterday. Let's move on. What's going on with all of the practitioners of the religion of peace being arrested all of a sudden by the FBI? I noticed none of them were Irish nuns. It's very strange to me. None of them were Jewish, none Buddhist. None Hindu. Gee, they were all practitioners of the same type of FBI agents are investigating whether an American teenager detonated one of two stolen UN vehicles packed with explosives at a peacekeeper's base in Somalia, killing 20 people last week. The investigation highlights a disturbing trend of Somali-American youths, isn't that nice, returning to their ancestral homeland to fight for an Islamic militia that the U.S. government links to Al-Qaeda. Somali-American youths going back to their homeland to blow people up. Now, of course, when Clinton first brought all the Somalis in and dumped them in Maine, we objected. We said many of them had never used a toothbrush. Many of them had never used toilet paper. It would be very difficult for many of them to adapt, and we were called racist. And, of course, we weren't racist. We were nationalists. We were concerned about what people might do who do not understand this culture and don't want to become part of it. And now we're finding out that we were right and the liberals were wrong. So what do you want me to do? Tell you I don't see what's going on. 4 or 5 arrests, all of them Muslims. And we're not supposed to notice this? We're not supposed to ask what's being taught in these mosques? We're not allowed to ask that question for fear that one of their front groups is going to say that we're a racist for using common sense to protect ourselves? And wait, it gets worse. 2 men in custody in separate Texas, Illinois, and bomb plots. All Muslims. All Muslims. Now, I realize that this is a sensitive issue. I recognize that they have front groups in America who will attack anybody who says the obvious. And I recognize that many of you know what's going on in this country and would like to do something about it but can't because your government will arrest you if you even ask the question. The liberals certainly have attacked me for asking these questions, but I will not stop asking them because I think we are in great danger. Not only are we in great danger because of domestic terrorism, and I want to say right now thank you to the FBI, to the brave men of the FBI. Thank God you have not been turned into capons by Obama. I wish I could say the same for a few of the other intelligence operations in this country, but the FBI apparently, a holdover from, actually goes back to Clinton. Mr. Mueller has survived the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, and now even the Obama 9 months. And apparently, although they have been taught to be very sensitive about these things, they were able to nip these things in the bud. And we have to say, thank God we still have an FBI, because you look at Obama. 2 days ago, he gave a speech in the UN calling for a world without nuclear weapons. That's very noble. That's a very noble thought. That's something a college teacher would be, you would think a college teacher would ask for. World without nukes and global warming, save the SEALs. You know, I understand all of this. They live in an ivory tower and they talk to each other. But now Obama's on the world stage and he says, okay, let's get rid of all our nuclear weapons. And Russia says, good idea. Great idea. Iran, great idea. Then they find out today, Iran gives a speech mocking, says we have a second nuclear plant we've been working with for years, and you didn't know about it. So to cover their tracks, the Three Stooges. Who are the Three Stooges? Obama's not alone on this. The Three Stooges, Obama, Gordon Brown of England, and Sarkozy, the skirt chaser, all of them give a speech saying, well, we knew about it for 2 years. They knew nothing. They knew nothing. Sarkozy's been chasing skirts for years. That's all he's good at. Useless. The French president, the big tough interior minister, came to power and suddenly became a bigger skirt chaser. And Gordon Brown, released the mad bomber of Libya. You hear this? Gaddafi's bomber he released. And Obama. You know, the more I think about Obama, the more I think I have him wrong. Let me explain what I mean by that. I don't think Obama himself is as negatively inclined as many of you fear. I think Obama's a generally idealistic college kind of guy. He's way over his head. He never expected to be president. He never thought they'd pull it off. The people behind them, you know, the people that we know are behind them. The bundled money from Saudi Arabia, the bundled money from nefarious groups in America. Never thought he'd be president so quickly. And I think it's the people around him that you have to worry about, the czars in particular, and we know that. But Obama, and there could be a silver lining to this cloud that I may be the first conservative in the media to talk about. I don't believe anyone else can see this because, like Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, I have the highest mast and I can see farther than anybody in the media. And here's what I'm going to say to you. Obama's no dummy. He may be naive, but stupid he isn't. Naive, yes. He's lived in a chrysalis of the university world. And, of course, the insular world of Chicago politics for so long that he has not seen outside that world. However, not dumb and certainly not unbrave. And what I'm saying to you, you're not going to believe it's coming from Michael Savage, conservative. I believe that when Obama comes to understand that he's been lied to and deceived and cheated by Iran, lied to and deceived and cheated by Russia, lied to and deceived and cheated by North Korea, lied to, deceived, and cheated by so many other parties who have taken him for a sucker, this guy, at that point, can finally become the president that we need. It could happen. And let's pray that it happens. That's my opinion. Now let's go back to the good song. I played for you. Thank you. The Soviet anthem sung in English and by a children's choir, a Soviet young pioneer song. Why is this offensive? Why is it offensive to hear elementary school students chanting to the President of the United States? Do you know why that's offensive? Chris, New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. You don't find it offensive, I take it?
I tell you, yes, I am a Obama supporter, but I'll tell you why he did that. You see, you say you are a student of history. We're proud of this man. We don't agree with everything he says. We're proud of him because, see, we never had this before. We have the first African-American president, and that's the sense of pride for
people. Hold up. Well, what if an Italian-American mayor was a mayor of New York and the kids were brainwashed into singing chants to Fiorello LaGuardia? Don't you think some people might find that offensive?
No, because what's happening is, see, you know, our history. Look back at our history, Mr. Savage. You're an educated man. You know what we've been through. You know our history's been dumbed down.
I understand that. I respect suffering and pain, and I respect the compassion and the sincerity in your statement. However, I would like you to please try to see the world the way I see it for one moment. It is illegal to teach about Jesus in a schoolroom. Is that correct?
Yes, and I disagree with that.
Okay. It is illegal to even quote the Ten Commandments in a classroom because of the left-wing Marxists who have taught people that there's a separation of church and state. It is also quite offensive to chant to a president as though he is sort of a messiah figure. It is also using a public sphere to promote a political end, Chris. So it's outside. Look, aside from the fact that people are proud, if they're African-American, of the first African-American president. I understand that. But the schoolroom may not be the right venue to express that pride, Chris.
Yeah, perhaps so. But I guess he's just getting to the children, because I don't know, Mr. Savage, you got to be around these kids. A lot of them don't have no hope for, and you have to live it.
Well, you know what? You're an honest guy and a nice guy. What's amazing is that you and I disagreed at the beginning, but we actually met somewhere in the middle, didn't we?
Okay.
Yeah. I want to thank you very much for calling this show. See that? That's the hope for America, is to disagree and have a conversation and end up not disagreeing. I come to a conclusion today. The siren would stop outside the studio. Good, it stopped. Another, let us say, a lightning storm in another restaurant in San Francisco. More restaurants have been hit by fires in San Francisco in the last few weeks than ever. They're catching fire. You know, there used to be a phrase, blank lightning. You know, put in your ethnic group of choice, whichever ethnic group you want to slam. But so many restaurant fires are occurring. I wonder if it has anything to do with the economy. But moving past the issue of sausages and peppers, I want to talk to you about what I've come to with people. I'm a practical person. I'm also not a youngster. I don't consider myself old. Inside, I'm probably younger than most 30-year-olds. My spirit is eternal. It's youthful. However, I've been around, and here's the way I see things. If you let people, no, let me start from the top. It's very easy to have an argument with everyone you meet. It's very easy to disagree with everyone you meet and then have an argument with everyone you meet, disagree with everyone in your family, hate everyone in your family, disagree with everyone you work with. It could happen. And the way to end it is more dialogue, not less dialogue. I have found, and one of the reasons I love talk radio is because it's an opportunity for dialogue, which you can't have in a newspaper and you can't have with a television set. And that's why talk radio is so important for this country. It's a safety valve. And all of the leftists should understand that, who are trying to shut down conservative talk. This is a safety valve. But let's put that aside. For example, you could have a disagreement with someone and get so mad and hang up that phone. What, son of a gun? I'm going to do this. I'm calling my lawyer. I'm going to do this. And you know what you do? If you pick that phone up again when you calm down 30 minutes later and you make the call back to that person and you say, you know what? Maybe I didn't understand what you said. Maybe I didn't quite understand what you were meaning. Why don't you explain it to me again? You can come to a middle ground with anybody on earth who is reasonable, and you could probably defuse a lethal or explosive situation in that regard. And on a personal level, it works. Why can't it work on an international level? I'll tell you why. The same reason it sometimes doesn't work on a personal level, because there are just bad people out there. Not an entire nation, but an entirely bad person. Ahmadinejad is a repeat of Hitler. The Iranian people aren't the bad people. They're suffering under these mullahs. They're suffering under these throwbacks. The women are treated like cattle. The Iranian women don't want to walk around in burqas. The Iranian women want a modern life. But these throwback mullahs have hijacked Iran. In the case of Iran, nothing will stop them short of a war. Nothing will stop them but bunker-busting bombs, destroying their entire nuclear ambition. Nothing will stop them. Nothing will deter them. It's the same with some people you're going to meet. You can't do it with. But a good percentage, 95% of the people you meet or you work with or you know, you can have a reasonable conversation with. So that's the story. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Give me the Campbell song. I want to hear the Campbell thing. No, the elementary school, Bernice Young Campbell's Obama anthem. All right, you get the picture ready. Right, one more. One more. All right, that's enough. That's enough. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. It's Rock and Roll Friday as well. If you want to comment on any of these topics or the wonderful, enemies within the country right now who are making a mockery of us, using our laws to try and bomb us, to blow us up, to put us into smithereens, you can do that too, because I'm not going to stop you. I'm not government radio. I'm the Savage Nation. Now, maybe government radio, meaning NPR, that's after all government radio. NPR has been government radio from the beginning. You know, Jay on WOR in New York City. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Concerning the kids singing to about Obama, I just think that you're really making a big deal out of this.
I am making a big deal out of it because it is a public school, and not all children in the public school are Democrats, number one. But number two, they're not permitted to take a partisan position in a public school, Jay. Now, you wouldn't know that because you don't have children.
Can I just explain? Give me some time to explain to you.
I gave you time already. You finished already. What are you going to say that's new? That children should be brainwashed in a public school?
Many of these kids are exposed to drugs and are around, you know.
You're saying, you see your prejudice is showing. I always knew liberals were biased and prejudiced. Have you actually seen the YouTube video of the children themselves? You think you assume they're all black, don't you?
No, that's not what I'm trying to say.
You just said many of the children are exposed to drugs. This was a mixture of lily white and people of other races. It wasn't all black kids.
Every single school? It didn't happen in every single school. It happened.
No, but we're pointing it out that it happened in this school, and we're upset over it. It shouldn't have happened even in this school. What if someone had chanted the George Bush? Could you imagine what would have gone on in this country if they came up with some country and western song about George Bush? And they ended it with an e-ha. What do you think the libs would have said?
I don't know, but it's just like kids singing about Harriet Tubman. It's like kids singing about Frederick Douglass. It's just pride because he happens to be the first African-American president.
Well, as I said to you, what if there was the first Italian-American president? Should they start singing to him? What would happen if they did that? Because they had pride in him?
Italian Americans probably would feel pride. I mean, I don't think it's singing.
Well, of course they would feel pride, but it would be illegal to do so. It's a violation of public school trusts to become so partisan. How many different ways, Jay, do we have to say it? You can love Obama all you want outside the school. You cannot inculcate children with propaganda for either party. Isn't that the country you want to live in? A sort of politically neutral country with regard to school?
Savage.
I went to Chinatown, way back in old Hong Kong, to get some egg foo young, and then I heard a gong. Ling, ting, tong, glad to sing that song.
It's like this couldn't be made anymore because of political correctness. I look at movies now on TV. Even movies from 5 years ago they couldn't make today. 10 years ago, you take a movie like Casino. They couldn't make a movie like that today. Even Hollywood, big, wild, free Hollywood, they wouldn't make a movie even like Casino anymore today. They've been so constrained. I want to talk about a news story. Pakistan discovers village of white German al-Qaeda insurgents, the boys from Berlin. A jihadi village of white German al-Qaeda insurgents, including Muslim converts, in Pakistan's tribal areas close to the Afghan border. So what you have now is a reemergence of the linkage between Nazis in World War II and the Mufti of Jerusalem, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, where there were legions of Muslim Nazis who fought alongside the Nazi armies in various parts of the world, mainly in the Balkans. And now we have a village in Taliban-controlled Waziristan, which is run by al-Qaeda, and shows life in a whole village, and there are white boys in there, primarily of German families, and they're out to kill Westerners. And I think about this. What would take a child, what would happen in a child's mind to hate his country? Here's a guy, a German named Abu Adam, a 24-year-old German believed to be of Turkish or North African descent, who was raised in the smart Bonn, Germany suburb of Kessenich. Adam, whose real name is Munir Chuka, received weapons training in the German army as part of his national service. And later, telling colleagues he was joining a trading firm in Saudi Arabia, he went to join a terrorist training camp in Yemen. And now he wants to die the death of honor and kill Europeans. They say the Europeans are there in Waziristan. The most dedicated people there are from Europe. They will do anything for Islam. They are not there because their fathers are Muslim, but by choice. So they're not real Muslims. What they are brainwashed fanatics who don't even understand their own religion. They've been brainwashed by the renegade imams. And we now have a metastasis occurring amongst these disgruntled youth. But it didn't begin today. It didn't begin yesterday. Here in Marin County, California, for example, in the area in my backyard, a number of years ago, there was a rat boy. Marin County Rat Boy, we called him. And the reason we named him Rat Boy is that when he was finally caught in Afghanistan, by the way, he was in a watery basement of an Afghani a fort, and they fished him out, and he looked like a rat. Now, here's a kid who grew up in a middle-class home in Marin County. Parents were like a normal Catholics. Then something happened in his childhood. As we learn later, the road that set him off like this was that his mother became a Buddhist, and his father became gay and married another man. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with him becoming a terrorist? I don't know. But I do know that a boy needs a father. I do know that a boy needs a strong, ethical, moral father figure in order to grow up a healthy man. And I do know that some boys go off the rails when their fathers are not there for them. It certainly is true that they go off the rails with a good father there. That's a given. But the percentage of kids that go off the rails when the father is not there for them, or when the father is so whacked out that he does a thing like that, marries another man, could drive a kid to seek another father figure. So where does he look? He looks to Osama bin Laden, who is presenting himself as a moral figure. After all, he only cuts people's heads off. He only directs innocent boys to blow up innocent people, Muslims and others, in a marketplace. But he presents himself as Mr. Holy and clean and perfect. So he becomes a role model for these kids, and these kids will do anything for him. So years ago, when we learned about Rat Boy, I tried to piece together how they became Rat Boys, and I put this together on the Savage Nation.
This is Graham Hancock on special assignment with Michael Savage reporting from the field. Today, we're examining the question of what happened. What created Johnny Jihad? What were the forces that molded this unfortunate man's life? Here, we attempt to demonstrate what happened. The reasons.
We now take you to the imaginary home of the boy Taliban. In A Day in the Life of the Boy Taliban, Johnny Jihad, Fairfax, California, a town without pity. And we imagine a scene such as this may have occurred. Little boy Taliban has just soiled his diaper. He has then picked up the diaper and said,
doo-doo.
And smeared it on the wall.
Oh, Johnny, what did you do? Johnny, that is... Oh, honey.
How dare you interfere with our son's creative abilities, you chauvinist pig.
Oh, God.
Don't you realize that's as good as any Renoir? Our son is destined to be a great artist. But if you don't stop interfering, he'll end up in the gutter. Besides, it's a rental. Let those bourgeois pigs take care of the mess.
Next scene I would imagine would be Johnny Boy in school being asked to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Although in Fairfax, California, the pledge has been banned since the Civil War, we would imagine at some point in his early days of schooling, he might have been asked to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I refuse to do the Pledge of Allegiance. My mother says I don't have to. You know, I'm not going to waste my time pledging my allegiance to a bunch of dead old white men. Besides, this is a pig nation. Who wants to be a part of it anyway?
Oh, in the next scene, the teacher turns him on to smoking pot.
Johnny.
Oh, teach, what's happening, dude?
Are you still smoking those Lucky Strikes?
Yeah, it's all I can afford, man.
Come on over here. Let me expand your horizons.
Whoa.
Little Kona Gold for you.
Kona Gold, huh? I'll take some of that.
The next scene is, of course, a hardened convict from San Quentin who's out on work release, and his work is teaching children multiculturalism.
When you're incarcerated, you begin to understand that there is a general oppression that exists in our country.
Right on,
and what we need is liberation from that oppression. And when you find a higher state of consciousness connected to the greater source of understanding, that is a point of time at which your mind is liberated and the shackles of intellectual control are thrown off. And you're able to function on a higher level, being free from the laws and the conscience.
Next scene is he's in Tamiskil High School, the school for special troublemakers. He's trying to grow corn. He puts the corn in the ground and steps on it with his foot.
Dude, I don't know why I should have to water this corn. Oh, I mean, it's natural, you know? Huh. I put it in the ground, I cover it with the soil, let nature do the rest. It's really taking me down that I have to do so much work in order to create my food, man. I don't know. My mom never raised me to do this kind of thing. Help me. I'm completely lost.
How about Johnny's first date?
Johnny, what's the matter with you? Why won't you kiss me? Don't you like me?
Oh, you have germs. You're a girl, and...
What, you don't like girls? What's your problem?
I hate my mother. So, can't you have more sensitivity for me? I'm going through something really difficult.
How about we take you to Johnny Jihad's cousin in Berkeley, California?
There's no actual released evidence that links Osama bin Laden to this.
Seems to be genetic.
Our parents taught us not to hit when we were young, not to hit back, and that's exactly what we're doing.
After being indoctrinated by the liberal left, Johnny had one final discussion with his father that sent him running off to the side of the Taliban.
Regarding the USS Cole, Johnny, I just think it was downright wrong.
Oh, you've got to be kidding, Dodd. That was a completely justifiable act of self-defense on behalf of the Yemen people. Oh, I can't take this anymore, dudes. I'm going off to war. I'm going to fight imperialism and greed and corporate control. I can't take it anymore. It is uncertain what motivated Johnny Jihad to go off to war, to take the side of the enemy. But here, Michael, is a final addendum to this story. Last week, just hours before Taliban and Al-Qaeda prisoners began their uprising in the northern Afghan fortress of Kala Jangi, CIA agents interviewed Johnny Jihad. The interrogation, which took place shortly before one of the agents, Michael's fan, was killed, was videotaped by an Afghan cameraman. There you have it, up to this point. Back to you, Michael Savage.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Still a classic, excellent. I give my team an award for that. Still good, still true, still wonderful. But, you know, underneath the humor, I mean, you got white kids now from Germany joining Al-Qaeda to go blow up American targets. And where does it come from? Again, it comes from the liberal indoctrination along the lines of what I just played for you in jest right here on the Savage Nation. So let's go back again to the elementary school students at Bernice Young School in Burlington, New Jersey, singing the Obama anthem. Now you say, well, they're not singing any praises of Osama bin Laden. They're not singing about destroying America. That is true. They're only singing about fairness and equality, and we understand that, and we all agree in that. But you're not seeing the bigger picture. The Barack Hussein Obama song is clearly a political indoctrination within a public school setting. It is illegal. End of story. Now can we move on? Play a piece of it. There you go. Now, on the three, and a one, and a two, and a three. Go ahead. I want everyone in America to get that beat. Now, could you imagine, honestly, if during Bush's years, if somebody put together a country and western song? I know someone on the radio will steal this idea, probably the Hem, by tomorrow. The Hem's got the team working on it already. If they did a country and western song, a hymn to George Bush, yeah, you could easily, and it ends with mission accomplished. Can you imagine the outcry in this country, what the phony, un-American, backstabbing vermin in the ACLU would be doing? Can you imagine? So, there it is. Okay, rock and roll. I want some rock and roll, real rock and roll. Give me some real rock and roll right now on the Savage Nation. I want a real rock and roll.
Come on, baby, let baby, me that's good roll. Time roll. Come on, baby, let me thrill your soul.
Yeah.
Come on, baby, let
that's more like
roll.
It. I'm fed up with all of this. Wake up here that Israel finally was Israel again. When it finally found itself in the good old days when they had Golda Meir as president and they defended themselves before they wound up vaporized over Jerusalem. I'd like to wake up and, I don't know, some pride. I'd like to feel some pride in being an American again. I mean, I wish that we would do it. I wish we'd send missiles off our submarines, off our aircraft carriers, launch those F-A-18 Hornets, use our B-1 bombers, use our B-2 bombers, use all of the trillions of dollars that you've mulked the public for with these weapon systems that you don't have the guts to use. For God's sakes, every day I wake up praying that our military would finally act against this monster in Iran and set the world back on its axis. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Good morning. We are here to announce that yesterday in Vienna, the United States, the United Kingdom, and France presented detailed evidence to the IAEA demonstrating that the Islamic Republic of Iran has been building a covert uranium enrichment facility near Qom for several years.
Well, if they've known about it, you have to ask yourself, why was this matter brought forward now? The answer is they're getting ready to act or letting Israel act, or there's going to be an allied action against this Hitler of our time. We're right on the cusp. Gore-backed firm gets $529 million U.S. loan. Did you hear this story from the Wall Street Journal? A tiny car company backed by the shyster Al Gore has just gotten a $529 million U.S. government loan to help build a hybrid sports car in Finland. Thank you, Al. That will sell for about $89,000. That's where your money is going to. That's where your stimulus money is going to. Democrats jarred by drop in fundraising. No kidding, Nancy. I guess all the little people are finally onto your racket. Animal cruelty charges dismissed against officer for sex with cows. But that's from New Jersey, where it's not illegal. A New Jersey judge has dismissed animal cruelty charges against the cops, saying a grand jury had no way of knowing whether the animals were tormented as a result of oral sex with calves by this officer. It's unbelievable to me. You don't know which way to turn anymore. Reed blocks acorn probe. There's a 100 things up there. Then on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, there's a new picture of me taken this morning. I had to put on a tie and a jacket, which I did happily. I went over to the California Highway Patrol office, and I was so honored for them to give me this little plaque. You know, what does the plaque mean? People say, what do you need a plaque for? It's not the plaque. I mean, you see these guys, they risk their lives every day. You say, oh, bull crap, they're in it for the pension. Well, why don't you ride around one day in a police car? Or why don't you ride around one day in a state trooper's car and see how much, how easy this job is? If you don't know the kind of risk that there is and how many widows and orphans there are in this country who lost their husbands as a result of extremely crazy, dangerous psychopaths out there, then you don't know reality. The same thing with the Democrats and the world around them. They know pretty good on how to grift out the money, but they don't know anything about the danger they're putting us in with their liberal policies. Same thing. So I made a small donation to the California Highway Patrol, and they gave me an award today. I was very honored to receive it. Very soon we'll all have a dinner together where we can, guys, where we can celebrate together with a proper bottle of victuals or some victuals, period. So what would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? You want to sign the Savage petition to defend free speech? Now, the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, says Obama will regret this. You hear this? Now he's threatening Obama. And that's why I said at the beginning of the show, don't underestimate Obama. On the other hand, don't demonize him either. In a certain way, I wouldn't demonize him. I demonize the people around him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not getting soft on Acorn, and I'm not getting soft on the czars, and I'm not getting soft on the people around them from Chicago. But I think Obama is going to come to understand the danger we are all in. And he says Iran is on notice in the nuclear standoff. But yet, even though Obama said he would not rule out military options, and he said he would prefer to resolve the standoff diplomatically, Ahmadinejad threatened Obama. And he said Obama, along with the leaders of Britain and France, will, quote, regret accusing Tehran of hiding a nuclear facility. He said, it's not a secret site. If it was, why would we have informed the IAEA about a year ahead of time? They will regret this announcement. You don't understand, this is a Hitler. Now, I'm not into magic, although I do understand that I'm not into it, and I'm not into the occult at all. I'm not, after all, an occultist. I've read in great detail recently a couple of books. I had a guest on last week on this, on Hitler and the occult. You don't know that the Nazis were not Christians. They were occultists. Many people who are anti-Christians try to say that Hitler was a Christian. Yes, at birth he was a Christian, but they didn't practice Christianity. Their religion was anti-Semitism and the occult. Now, a guy like Ahmadinejad is an interesting repetition of Hitler in many ways. Although I don't believe in magic and I don't understand any of this, I do know psychically that certain evil forms reappear on Earth in each period of time, not certainly don't repeat continuously. But if you looked at Hitler, you could probably look back beyond Hitler and you could see him in one of the hordes that invaded Europe and butchered whole villages, for example. That would be, for example, who could we use as an example of a predecessor of Hitler spiritually? Pick name whichever one you want. Attila the Hun. So you could say there was Attila the Hun, then there was Hitler, now we have Ahmadinejad. It's the same evil spirit that's coming back up on the earth. And unless they're stopped, this dark evil spirit will consume millions of people. World War II could have been averted if the United States had killed Hitler in the 1930s. But the United States did not want another war. Rightly so. They had suffered in World War I. The British didn't want another war. They lost millions of men for no reason. In the trenches of Europe, they didn't want another war. So many women were still grieving. So many mothers had broken hearts. Who wanted another war? So they went to the other side. They became pacifists, and they listened to Neville Chamberlain, who told them that there will be peace in our time. And Hitler played on that. Ahmadinejad is not even smart enough to play on the peaceful aspirations of the American people. Instead, he comes to our country, insults our country, and threatens our country right in New York at a press conference. Can you believe this? And so, as I say, if the U.S. and France and Britain knew about this facility a year ago and are only announcing it now, I can expect 600,000 degrees over a site in Iran very soon.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Let's have some Rock and Roll Friday. We can talk about this. We can talk about the white. That's Keep On Singing. Go on Barbecue. Put on your shorts. What are you going to do? What can we do? We got the Three Stooges running the Western nations. You got Obama here. You got Sarkozy, the skirt chaser in France. And then you got Gordon Brown, the impotent, in England. It's unbelievable. If I were Iran and I was intent upon developing nuclear weapons, I would do the same thing. What's going to happen? Tell me what's going to happen. Nothing. The only thing that might happen is that Israel may get Golda Meir back, someone like her, and they'll defend themselves before they vanish. Other than that, we'll do nothing. They're too busy trying to mulk the public, that's all. Caught by surprise, Obamacare. Oh, it's awful. It's all so crazy. Nobody wants to pay attention to it anymore. It's so mismanaged. You've got, it looks to me like politicians who are just crooks, not protecting the American people from foreign threats and robbing the store. And the people know this. They know it. They do know it. And they're angry and they're upset and they're frightened. And we don't know what to do. We don't know who to turn to. So we keep talking about it. And we hope that there's an effect that's positive. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. And while we're doing it, Obama administration cuts 384 Border Patrol agents from the Mexican border. You hear this? This is in the middle of a drug war. This is in the middle of drug gangland killings. This is in the middle of the country being overrun. Cutting 384 agents from the Mexican border? Does that make sense to you? Why would this administration cut Border Patrol by 384 agents? Why? Let me ask you, is there anyone in this audience? I don't care what your... Even though the Border Patrol now reports that almost 1,300 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border is not under effective control, guess what happened? Guess what happened? Border Patrol director said that his agency is planning for a net decrease of 384 agents on the U.S.-Mexico border in fiscal 2010. So this is the DHS. The Department of Homeland Security is doing this. Why? Why would they take them from the southwest border to send them to the northern border? Why would they take them from the border with Mexico and put them on the border with Canada? Ask yourself why Napolitano was made the Department of Homeland Security. Ask yourself if you can figure this out. See, we don't know which side anyone's on anymore. I'm sorry to tell you this. You think I love saying this? You think I'm an idiot who likes to stay up at night and worry about the governmental officials who know that I know what's going on? You think I enjoy this? You think I wouldn't like to disappear and not be seen again? Half the time I'd like to walk off this stage and never be heard from again? You think I don't want a normal life like the rest of you have? You think I like antagonizing the most powerful, dangerous, devious people the world has ever seen? I don't. I don't. But it's my job. I'm a member of the Fourth Estate, not the Fifth Column. And so I have to do my job or else I don't want to get on the radio. If I can't do this job the way it's supposed to be done, which is to keep the government as honest as we can, I'm not going to do this job anymore. And if the government reaches the point where it quelches free speech by cutting off conservative talk radio through the lie of diversity or any such thing, then you will have nobody left other than the empty skirts in the networks. And now I'll take your calls. Patricia in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, your opening statement about Obama's reacting to a possible betrayal I thought was very provocative, but I have to tell you I don't agree with it, and I'll tell you why. For a person, I think, to realize that they've been betrayed takes a certain amount of a brutal intellectual honesty. And to me, Obama possesses too much narcissism for that.
Let me go back to what I said in case people didn't catch it. I said I've reassessed my opinion of Obama. And I believe although he is naive and an idealist, he's not stupid nor weak. And that when he realizes he has been lied to and deceived by Ahmadinejad, by North Korea, perhaps by Russia and others, he is just liable to do the right thing and defend America in the right way. You disagree for the reasons you mentioned.
I don't totally disagree with your assessment, but what I am trying to make is a distinction between a man who understands that he had made a judgmental error versus a man who sees things in terms of himself, where it comes back to him first, and he sees it more as a personal betrayal. And in that case...
Oh, wait, if he sees it as a personal betrayal, that's liable to make him even more reactive.
That doesn't mean he can react with the kind of intellectual necessity that we would need.
What do you think Obama should do right now with Iran, with regard to Iran developing a second nuclear facility and developing weapons-grade uranium?
I'll tell you what I think. I listened to Benjamin Netanyahu's speech yesterday.
Okay? Yeah.
This man I cannot tell you what this man means to me as a native New Yorker. When he came here right after 9/11, and he gave that speech, and he said, America, you just got a wake-up call from hell. I stood in front of the television. I remained, and all I could say to myself was, I wish this man or type of man was the kind of man who was leading us now. I hope that that gives some answer to your question.
Well, you got to remember who Netanyahu is. First of all and foremost, he is a former military member, and he's also a member of an elite group. He lost his brother at a, you know who his brother was, don't you?
Yes, I do. He lost him at Entebbe.
Okay. Right, Entebbe. His brother was the last man on the tarmac. He let everyone else get on the plane. He took a bullet for the crowd, and he died. Okay, Netanyahu himself was a pretty good fighter, but the fact is he's now a politician. I trust him as much as I trust any other politician. Having said all of that, I don't expect very much from Netanyahu other than hot air, but having heard his speech, it was actually painful to listen to. When he said to the UN, have you no shame, I said, whoever wrote his speech should be fired. That's an old line. It was used in the 50s by the Army secretary who attacked Senator McCarthy when he said to Senator McCarthy during the McCarthy hearings, Senator, have you no shame? It's old. It's hackneyed. It has no effect for a couple of reasons. One, because, of course, the UN has no shame. How could he try to shame people who have no souls? How in the world could he try to shame the people at the UN who, by definition, have no shame? He should have been much tougher, in my opinion, Patricia.
I want to tell you something, Michael. I want to tell you two things. I started listening to you 8 months ago, and I've hardly missed a night. There is a graveyard near my home that's about 300 years old. And I went to walk through there the other day. It's very small when they built the graveyards where people were still burying their families, going back to the farming ages.
Mm.
And there's boys buried there, American boys who were 23 and 25 years old, who died in 1939 and 1940 flying for the RAF. And I thought about that the other day, about Band in Britain, that sort of made a connection to me. My neighbor, when I used to live in that little town, which is right, actually right next door to the town I live in now, who is now deceased, was with the OSS. And he was given the assignment, when the war ended, to photograph the camps and all of the people that died there and all of the remains so that history could never forget. Now, I'm saying this as a Christian woman. Those photographs from this man, I'll give you, his first name is James, that's all I'll say. His photographs are sitting in Israel at the Holocaust Museum. So I think we're living in an age where people have long forgotten what has happened. And I agree with you, it's not enough to come up and say, shame on you. It's when I was a girl of 13, and I'm 60 now, I watched a whole program on Channel 13 about the Holocaust, and I saw pictures that are still in my mind today.
But how could the UN permit a man, a president of a country, come and deny what everyone knows is true? How could they permit him to give such a propaganda speech right in the heart of New York City? Why was he even permitted in there?
I think you're going to think I'm crazy, but I say I'd rather have that. We have two. There's such a big gap. I'm in your age group. Okay, and I'm a New York born and raised gal. There's such a big gap in the history we knew versus the history as it is being told today.
Well, wait, then why let a man who's reinventing history to give such a propaganda speech in the UN? Under the auspices of the United Nations, he says this didn't occur. Millions weren't killed in death camps. When everybody who knows history and has seen the pictures and seen the video and seen the footage and seen the U.S. Army footage and seen the ovens understands it was true and happened, how could we let him put out the big lie again?
Because it's better to let him put out the lie so we can disprove it than get it second or third hand. I mean, don't misunderstand me, Michael.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I disagree with you. You know how you disprove it, Netanyahu, and instead of giving a crybaby speech about where is your shame, or blah, 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 he should have gotten up there and held up some pictures. He should have made the entire UN General Assembly watch a video, a representation of what actually happened. That would have been what Netanyahu should have done on a wide screen
to make that maniac
stop.
That's
and to think that Time magazine interviews the Hitler of our time. To think that the AP refers to him as the president of Iran without referring to who he is or what he's done to his own country. To think that the vermin in the media don't even say that this man is causing the torture and torment of Iranians. The Iranians, after all, who stood up to him a few months ago and who was shot down by Hillary Clinton and Obama, who did nothing for the opposition movement. Nothing. And where is Hillary Clinton while all this happens? Where is the Secretary of State while all of this is going on? Why is she the most invisible Secretary of State of modern times?
She's in Siberia, Michael. It's the old Godfather adage, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. I think that is exactly what Netanyahu should have done. Come with photographs, because I was trying to explain to you that we live in a huge time gap.
I understand that. So Netanyahu had the world listening to him, and he could have said, shame on all of you, here's the proof. Instead of giving a long, crying speech, he has a bad speechwriter. The Israelis have the worst speechwriters and the worst PR in the world. Patricia, by the way, this graveyard, can you tell us what neighborhood that's in?
Yes. I live in northern Westchester, almost at the end of the county. In fact, I'm going back there in about a week. The township is called Lewisboro, and it's comprised of five hamlets.
Is that where their prison, Lewisboro, is?
Oh, no, no. No, the prison's in Bedford. That's about 10 minutes on the other side.
Well, I'll tell you what, sweetheart, for being such a kind caller and so heartfelt, I'm going to send you a free copy of Banned in Britain, which is we're going to go to the printer with it next week. That's my story. That's my struggle. That is my struggle. I'm the canary in the mine shaft. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Darling, you sent me. I know you sent me. Darling,
you. So in some ways, it's reminiscent of the 1930s to me. I wasn't around. I certainly read about it. You had a German-American Bund telling us that Hitler was a friend, that Germany meant no harm. You had, at the same time, the Gestapo working here in the United States of America, taking pictures, planning sabotage, and eventually when war broke out, conducting sabotage, identical to what we have today with the Islamo-fascist threat around the world. But there's a little difference now. There was no atomic weapon in 1939, 1940. Right now, you have the capacity for the enemy to perhaps set off a suitcase nuke. This was big a couple of years ago. We haven't heard much about it since. Some have said it couldn't happen, that they can't be fused, they can't be set off. But when you got these guys who were being arrested going to a store to buy hydrogen peroxide and a few other items, you don't really need a nuclear weapon to set off tremendous mayhem in this country. As witness, what went on in the London subway bombing. As witness that if you set off even a conventional explosion in the right place, you can cause tens of thousands of deaths. So things are much different today than they were in the 1930s, which is very worrisome. Moreover, we have a more, let us say, I don't want to overuse a term, political correct. It means no meaning. An almost insane government that fears the citizenry more than they do the enemy. An almost paranoid Democrat party that fears the patriot more than they do the enemy. An almost paranoid, schizophrenic Democrat party that has more contempt for the American town haller than they do for Al-Qaeda. A clearly paranoid, schizophrenic Democrat party that spends more of its time trying to undermine the patriots in this country rather than attack the enemies who would do them and us harm. That's the difference between the 1930s and now. To me, that bothers me the most. Now you wake up and you see Border Patrol to move 384 agents from Mexico to Canada. And you have to ask yourself, what sense does this make? Can anyone answer that? I have a bunch of callers on that. Why are they moving agents from the Mexican border to the Canadian border? What's that all about? Why would DHS do that? Does that make sense? Maybe I'm not seeing things right. Make me into an instant Democrat. Make me understand the wisdom of that, would you please? You know, Albert Einstein spent the last few years of his life trying to prove his own theories wrong. Maybe that's what I'll do for the next few months.
Savage.
Oh, oh, oh,
Nation. Many people ask me why I play old rock and roll from this era. It's an innocent time. Different America. I was a kid. So it makes me feel different. You know, maybe you too. Maybe it's too old. I don't know. Play it anyway. What do I care? Way past caring one way or the other. Eating the point. Anyway, here we are. You know, I was thinking back on the Bush years. Remember Bush invited certain talk show hosts to the White House? Remember Rush, Hannity, O'Reilly, and others were invited in the White House? Remember, remember now, my show is the third largest in the country, which is a miracle when you consider that my syndicator is an independent and that my show starts rather late in the day across the country. And yet, even with those handicaps, the show is still number three, and it was number three at that time. I wasn't invited to the White House. He invited number one, number two, number five, number six, number seven. But he missed number three. Now, why do you think Bush didn't invite me to the White House? Because I criticized him for eight straight years. A year before he was out of office, I said, watch out. The guy's going off the rails. He's a fiscal socialist. That didn't stop the water carriers from fronting for him. And what you don't realize is that there are very few independents left, not only in radio, but in the internet as well. WorldNet Daily is a great website. WorldNet Daily has been the same since they began back in the 90s. Joe has never stopped being a conservative. I wish I could say the same thing for my good friend Chris Ruddy. You look at Newsmax, also started in the 90s. Here is a guy who came to prominence by attacking Hillary Clinton and now basically is an ally of the Clinton machine, in my opinion. Here is a guy who had a website, Newsmax, that was once on the cutting edge of conservatism that now reads like something like the Daily News. Half liberal, half conservative, and every other day an interview with Bill Clinton. You think people are stupid? You think people don't see what's going on? So again, I haven't been invited to the White House. I can guarantee you as I stand here that you're going to read one day that Rush and Hannity and O'Reilly and even the Hem will be invited to Obama's White House. Because he's a smart man. He's much smarter than Bush. And his handlers are smarter than Bush's handlers. If Bush had been smart, he would have invited Democrats into the White House from the media, but he didn't do that. He could have triangulated the opposition, but he didn't. But Obama will do that. I won't be invited. And if I were invited, I'd probably pull a Groucho. And I would say that I would never join a club that would want to have me as a member. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Is it bitterness? Is it sour grapes? It is not. It's not either. It is not either. I'm spending more of my time making donations than I am trying to make money. So it's not about money. I don't need the ratings and I don't need the money. I don't want it. That's not what this is about. I have to remain true to my message no matter what happens. And believe me, a lot of bad things are happening and they continue to happen. But I want you to keep your eye on the ball. I want you to look at the websites and I want you to see how they've changed direction with rare exception. And I want you to listen to talk show hosts and I want you to hear how they've compromised their positions with rare exception. And I want you to look back upon the water carriers for Bush and where they are today. And you'll find that the water carriers for Bush will not mention the First Amendment difficulties of Michael Savage. And there is a reason for it. And it has nothing to do with competition or money. It has to do with the fact that their controllers, their corporate controllers, have told them not to get involved to make certain that the first agent of reality is eliminated from the radio, and that they will survive. They're very much like those who pushed their fellows into the ovens in order to stay alive another day. Now let's go to the issue of Homeland Security moving agents from the southern border to the northern border. I want anyone to tell me why. What sense does that make? San Diego, Gene, do you have any idea why? Why are they moving agents like that?
Well, first of all, Dr. Savage, one must have be very well informed, 100% informed. Those agents that are being moved, a lot of times are on temporary assignments and do return to San Diego, and that's been going on for a very, very long time. So when these things hit the media, local media as well as national, that agents are being transferred and they are leaving one area to another, a lot of times the entire story, as usual, in Homeland Security these days, is not given. So people usually get only half of the story, and that's the way that they put it out to the media. And they are very well in control of the media, by the way.
Who's in very good control of the media? Who?
Homeland Security. Since 9/11, post 9/11, I'm one of the founding members of Homeland Security, formerly with the U.S. Customs Service. And post 9/11, everything changed. You say that things don't make sense. Absolutely correct. They do not make sense. Even to the point now of this Mr. Alan Burson, which we've just learned, even in my retirement, that he has just now been appointed as the so-called czar of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection.
Who is this czar now? Where did he come from?
Well, he was a former United States attorney here in Southern California. And one of his first mandates was, and I was working there at the time, was that he refused, as a U.S. attorney, refused to prosecute any assaults on the U.S. officers on the U.S.-Mexican border.
God. And so Obama picked this left-wing lawyer to be now a czar of Homeland Security?
It's Homeland Security, yes. And since then, he went to the superintendent of San Diego City Schools, where he had knowledge of having illegal alien children entering our schools, and did nothing. After he was, his appointment as the superintendent, he went on to, for the entire state, was appointed to the state school system to control the state school system.
Now, what is this guy's name again, this lawyer?
Yes, absolutely. A lawyer.
What's his name, the new czar of Homeland Security?
Yes, that was Alan Burson.
Are you telling me he has more authority than Janet Napolitano?
He is right up there with Janet Napolitano.
In other words, it's like the Soviet Union, which had KGB agents inside every agency to make sure that the agencies were conforming to the Communist Party dictums?
Absolutely.
Czars, in essence, are the KGB agents of the Obama administration to make certain that everything is in accord with the Communist Party manifesto.
And if any one of the active officers, we were told when I was on the job, if anyone were to go to the media and say anything about it, they managed through fear and intimidation of having our jobs terminated.
All right, so the country's been taken over then by this fifth column. The czars are the fifth column that have taken over the country.
Absolutely correct. And I am glad, so glad, that I retired out of there just in the nick of time, because now the victim...
Do you know that the feds have built only 32 miles of the 700-mile double border fence originally mandated by Congress? You would know that, correct?
I worked right there as they were building that fence, Dr. Savage. I was there.
Why would they take down a fence on the border with Mexico? Why would they do that when there was a shooting in Tijuana, Mexico, September 22nd, which is the other day, where four people were injured in a gun battle involving an attempt to smuggle illegal immigrants from Mexico at the busiest border crossing in the U.S.? Why would they take agents off that border right now?
Well, you know, the Border Patrol agents are stationed outside the ports of entry. Border Patrol agents, the Customs and Border Protection inspectors or officers, as our job titles were changed post 9/11, are strictly working the ports of entry. And furthermore, I hope you're sitting down for this one. They now have a program. They've been running a program called Homeland Security, which airs once a week. And up in Seattle, Washington, to my surprise, to my horror surprise, they have a United States officer who came on national television, which is nothing more than a PR campaign, to retain agents because they're leaving so fast. This man, this officer, is wearing a turban. Which was totally out of uniform regulations for many, many years, yet because he proclaimed his religion as a Muslim, that he was allowed to wear a turban on the job as part of his uniform.
Read that several Iranians were caught trying to sneak in from Mexico. Iraqis have been caught over and over again disguised as Mexicans. Isn't that true?
Yes. Absolutely.
Have we lost? Is it over? Do you think we've lost? Has the enemy taken over this country?
You know, I have a great fear that things have changed so much and it's so highly charged, and what's happening is what was one.
Now why, if so many knowledgeable people such as yourself and myself see this, why does Nancy Pelosi demonize us and call us demagogues? And why do they call us such names when we actually see what they're doing to us? You can't actually believe Nancy Pelosi wants to see the United States of America weaken, do you?
I don't want to believe that, but, you know, looking at everything, you know, up front, seeing is believing, and what is coming out has come out of that woman's mouth at these meetings and on the Capitol, you know, at these Senate hearings and what have you, is
yes.
very, very scary because it's like an anthill, Dr. Savage. Ants are very organized, and until someone takes a big foot and smashes it down on an anthill, what have you seen the ants do? They scatter, helter-skelter, not knowing what's happening. And that's what's happened right to the border protection agencies here across this country from here.
In other words, Nancy Pelosi has put a foot down on the agency and made the agents scatter?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, God.
And
oh, it's awful. It's worse than I think. Hey, look, let me send you a gift, Gene. Can I send you a free copy of Banned in Britain? We're going to press next week.
Absolutely.
It'll be my honor to do so. Stay on the line. Another caller now out of San Diego on the Savage Nation. Andrew, go ahead, please. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sick of you putting down Obama all the time. Obama's going to bring us peace over the next 8 years. He closed down Guantanamo.
Before you go into that, perv, let me ask you something. Why there anymore, Andrew? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Appointed these czars, which are illegal, unconstitutional, and the Republicans are invisible. The fact of the matter is czars are illegal. They are the equivalent of the KGB in the ex-Soviet Union. Let me remind you what that was. Let's say there was a submarine on patrol, and they had normal Soviet submarine officers and enlisted men on the submarine. In addition to them, there was a political officer, a KGB officer, whose job was to make sure that nobody on the submarine said anything against the government and that everyone on the submarine was in line with the Communist Party dictums. That's who the czars are. We just learned today that the Department of Homeland Security, already a wreckage under Janet Napolitano, has now had a czar appointed by the name of Alan Burson. Alan Burson is a border czar. Who is he? Well, you're not going to believe this. Who is Alan Burson? A former Secretary of Education for California appointed by none other than the Strudelman, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, what in the world did he do as a Secretary of Education for California? I'll let you parents in California tell America what he did. Who is Alan Burson? Well, he was born in 1946 in Brooklyn, New York. And he went to public schools and Hebrew school in New York City. And then a good, smart boy that he was, he went to Harvard and he got an A.B. in government. And then what did he do? He went to Oxford as a, quote, Rhodes Scholar. Now, let me pause right there. Rhodes Scholar. Bill Clinton. Rhodes Scholar. Study Fabian socialism over the weekend. That will be your essay test on Monday. So he was a Rhodes Scholar, and then he comes back to America after being brainwashed into Fabian socialism. And in 1974, he gets a J.D. degree from none other than, again, that hotbed of fifth column activity, Yale Law School. And here we now see this man moving his way up the ladder. In 05, the quizzling Arnold Schwarzenegger appoints this character as California's education secretary. And now, on April 15, 2009, Janet Napolitano appoints him as the czar of Border Patrol. That's what we have going on in America today. Alan Burson, DHS, Border Czar. That's America today. Now, anyone who went to Yale Law School should understand that we are a republic and that we are a republic of laws. And they should understand that czars are illegal, unconstitutional. And yet, we the people know this. Where are the Republicans? Huh. They're the same Republicans who invited Rush, Hannity, O'Reilly, and others into the White House. Nowhere to be seen. Why? Because the Obama cash machine has bought them off the same way they bought everybody else off. That's the way it works. So the job gets tougher by the day. The isolation gets deeper by the day. The danger becomes increasingly apparent every day. And yet, as I said to you, the day this job becomes easy, and the day this job just becomes a fun job, is the day it's time for me to disappear from the microphone and not do my job. And I won't do that. If I'm given the opportunity to speak to the American people, I'm going to do so in the best way I know how, which is the most truthful way. I will use logic, and I will use facts, and I will use the information at hand to try to alert you to the danger you are in from this administration, which is doing everything it can to take a wrecking ball to everything the Constitution has afforded us these several hundred years. And if you think it can't happen here, you are mistaken, my friends, because it already has happened here. That's my opinion. Austin, Texas, Jeffrey, what's your opinion? You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, you were talking about Obama earlier, and I really disagree with what you were saying. I think your assessment of him is a little bit naive, because from what you were saying, it sounds like you would assume that he was a good person before he got involved with the wrong crowd. And I think he's been involved with the wrong people for as long back in history as I can see.
Well, let's put it to you this way. Albert Einstein spent the latter part of his life trying to disprove the theories of the earlier part of his life. So I'm going to try to disprove my conservative beliefs over the next few weeks or months, and perhaps you will help set the record straight. Does that work for you, Jeffrey?
Yes, it does, and you will torture us a little bit with it.
Well, I'm not pig-headed, and I'm not didactic. So if anyone wants to join in and tell me why czars are unconstitutional and necessary, please call the Savage Nation right now. You'll be given priority boarding onto the airwaves. Tell us why czars are necessary when, in fact, they're not even called for in the Constitution. How did Obama come up with the concept of a czar, and what are they for? If we have a chairman, a Department of Homeland Security secretary named Janet Napolitano, who, she had to go through putative hearings. They were nonsense anyway, but at least who she is, a governor, and then she became this, then she became that. At least there was some hearings. We don't know who Alan Burson is. Never heard of the character before. Yet we find out now he's inside the agency with equal power to Janet Napolitano. Why? Who put him there? What forces put him there? What's their agenda? What are their politics? What's their end game? What do they believe in? I don't know. Do you know? Anyone have any idea why we need czars? I don't know. I can't figure it out. Let's play some rock and roll for the moment. We have a few minutes left in this hour, and I think that I've gotten you agitated enough for the weekend. That's all. Just remember, we have an almost paranoid Democrat party that fears the people more than they do Al-Qaeda. Think about that one. Think about the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who spends more time plotting against you than she does against Al-Qaeda. Think about what that says about her. Huh? That's a new one, isn't it? Think about Harry Reid, who says that we won't defund ACORN. He spends more time defending a criminal organization like ACORN than he does spend using his brains and his brawn to defend America against enemies domestic and foreign. Think about that. And then on Monday, call me and tell me why czars are constitutional and why we need them. And what do you think their agendas are? Well, you can swing and you can groove and you can really start to move it at the hop.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. here we go again. The big news, of course, is that our college professor, president, let's take a positive view. Obama's an idealist who thinks that all problems can be solved if people sit down together and are nice to each other. Apparently, that's worked for him all his life. What he doesn't know is that the world's filled with very dangerous people. Let's start with Ahmadinejad of Iran. Here he was 2 days ago, Obama, saying he wants to see a nuclear-free world. Here he was yesterday speaking at the UN, talking about us taking apart our nuclear arsenal.
America intends to keep our end of the bargain. We will pursue a new agreement with Russia to substantially reduce our strategic warheads and launchers. We will move forward with ratification of the Test Ban Treaty and work with others to bring the treaty into force so that nuclear testing is permanently prohibited. We will complete a nuclear posture review that opens the door to deeper cuts and reduces the role of nuclear weapons. And we will call upon countries to begin negotiations in January on a treaty to end the production of fissile material for weapons.
And today, guess what? Iran gives a speech saying that they have been building a second nuclear plant right under the noses of the West. So to cover their tracks, the three doofuses, the three clowns, the Marx brothers of our time, Obama, Sarkozy, and Brown, and believe me, Sarkozy's no better than any of them. All he is a man who runs after skirts, an empty suit, another empty suit. Three empty suits, suddenly a shock to find out that Iran has been building a second nuclear plant capable of weaponizing uranium and building a nuclear weapon. At the same time, we read that there's a white German al-Qaeda cell in Waziristan. So the old Axis is alive and well again. The Nazis and the Mufti of Jerusalem were a threat in World War II. And here we go again. And again, we're lectured every day about the religion of peace. And by the way, while we're talking about the religion of peace, they're arresting people all over America. Arresting a Jordanian for a downtown Dallas bomb plot. Arresting a Muslim in Illinois who wanted to bomb federal offices. Arrested another Muslim who targeted the Marine base in Quantico. Another man took photos of the Philadelphia subway system and vanished. Again, but we're not allowed to say a word. We have to leave it to the Marx brothers to protect us.
Sounds like we've moved from the Marx brothers to the Marxist brothers.
Very funny. Very, very funny. All I can say is thank God for the FBI. And I mean every word I just said. Thank God the FBI has not yet been deballed or eviscerated to the point where they couldn't protect us. Thank God we still have a domestic intelligence service that works. Just, I'm so outraged that we don't go in and do what our military is capable of doing. What are these weapon systems for? They're hiding in Waziristan? We don't know where they are in Waziristan? Oh, really? Village of white German al-Qaeda terrorists found in a Waziristan? All of the al-Qaeda members are training in Waziristan? Do you really care about Waziristan and the fact that they're hiding behind women and children? If we had had the same nervous Nellies running World War II, we'd all be dead or speaking German, Beowulf. They're going to kill us all if we don't take some decisive action militarily. And who in the world is going to give that order? Obama? Sarkozy? Brown? How about the school kids chanting to Obama that I ran yesterday all day? How about that one, to Chairman Obama? I thought about it all night, where that came from, and it dawned on me that the brainwashers trying to brainwash the children of America with the chanting to Obama song, it may have come from the Campbell's Chicken Noodle Soup ad, which went, good, good. Barack Hussein Obama is good. So Iran has another secret enrichment plan, and we did nothing. And the Three Stooges are saying, oh, you better stop. You better stop, the Three Stooges. I came this morning from the California Highway Patrol, where I was honored with a plaque and meeting some of the best men in California, the highway patrolmen. And they gave me a wonderful thank you and an award for giving them a donation to the wives and children of fallen CHP officers. You know what? It was one of the nice moments of my season, I got to tell you. The Paul Revere Society and Savage donated to the Highway Patrol Women's and Orphans Fund. It was really beautiful. And I recommend anyone listening to the show to go to michaelsavage.com and take a look at that organization and make some money come their way, you know?
I can see the picture on the website.
Got a picture up, yeah, in the hot sun of the California Highway Patrol. The hot sun, California Association of Highway Patrolmen. So if you believe in this cause, and you all should, contact the individual on my website and go give her a donation directly for the California Highway Patrol Widows and Orphans Trust Fund, as I did. Whatever it is, $10, $50, $100, $500, $1,000, it means a lot that they have. I mean, these guys were so sincere, Beowulf, to see the highway patrolman taking such pleasure in this award. It was beautiful because not many people respect the police in our country. You know that. It was a nice experience, and we're going to all go to dinner very soon and do a proper acceptance of the award over a few drinks and a couple of beers. Well, it's getting worse by the day. It's getting worse by the day. Just awful. Just awful. The West's repeating of history is just beyond belief. Just beyond belief. And yet the FBI somehow can still do its job. How do you explain that? How come they could break up all these Muslim terrorist cells in America? How come they were able to do it? They even got an imam. What's with these imams and what's going on in these mosques? Am I allowed to ask, Beowulf? Or is that illegal now to even ask the question? What's going on in these mosques? They didn't bust up a synagogue or a church where this was going on, did they? We don't have right to ask in America anymore what's going on there? How come so many of these kids go into mosques and come out terrorists? Why is that happening? All I can say is let's pray to God they don't gut the FBI. Look at this. FBI arrest Jordanian. We covered this already for downtown Dallas bomb plot. And incidentally, he's a Jordanian Muslim. Men vanish after taking photos of Philly subway system. We don't think that they were nuns. Terror suspects accused of targeting Marine Base in Quantico. How about the Muslims they arrested who wanted to bomb the New York buildings? How about that one? And his imam. Like that one? And we, the people, are not supposed to ask these questions. They'll accuse us of being worse than them. Unbelievable to me. Daniel Patrick Boyd, by the way, he's an American convert to Islam, with conspiring to murder U.S. military personnel. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Raleigh said in a statement. Listen to this. Boyd possessed armor-piercing ammunition, and it stated that it was to attack the Americans. You hear this? Boyd trained in terrorist camps in Pakistan and Afghanistan from 89 to 92 and fought against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Boyd is a U.S. citizen, and Sharifi is a native of Kosovo and a legal permanent resident of the United States. Bring them all in. That's just what we need. Bring them all in under asylum. They're all equal. Bring them all in.
You see, there's a whole generation of rat boys out there now.
Yeah, we played a little John Walker Lynn today. John Walker Lynn, rat boy from Marin County. Manson's follower Atkins dies in California prison. Boo, hoo, 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 hoo. Maybe they can blame the prisons that she died of brain cancer. She stabbed Sharon Tate to death while she was pregnant. The only reason she wasn't fried is because of liberal morons with their anti-death penalty insanity. The same sons of guns outside with the protest there, the G20. All these snotty little brats from college. Anarchists, my eye, with their head masks. The minute the police come out, or the military, you hear them screaming, "Ooh, what are you doing? Shame on you!" No, let them throw garbage cans through windows. Anarchists face down cops in riot gear. You know what I would do with them if I was in charge? You know what I would do, wouldn't you? I give them all a flower. I give each one of the anarchists a flower.
Some gentle people.
Look, we heard about Acorn. We heard about the lawsuit now that they're bringing against the people that caught them in the act. Joining us now is James Hurston to give us a little background on how far this lawsuit might go.
Thanks, Michael. Acorn has announced this lawsuit against James O'Keefe, Hannah Giles, and Andrew Breitbart's website for what it says was illegal videotaping of Acorn employees in Baltimore. So the head of this group has gone from blasting these filmmakers, then praising them for helping Acorn uncover corruption. Yes, Michael, as you have revealed, liberalism truly is a mental disorder. The suit was filed in the circuit court in Baltimore, where sympathetic juries are available, and Acorn wants a preliminary and permanent injunction to stop any more of these tapes that show the truth from coming out. They are also seeking damages that could go as high as $7 million. Now, the video in question shows now fired Acorn employees giving tax advice to O'Keefe and Giles, who are posing in what looks like Halloween costumes as a pimp and a prostitute. Acorn has hired a dream team of four lefty mouthpieces: Andy Freeman, Dwight Pettit, Arthur Schwartz, and Justin Brown for the plaintiffs. This group, Acorn and their attorneys, are going to regret filing this lawsuit.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, because Acorn employees have been caught on tape in three other states and Washington, D.C., assisting criminal behavior. This suit, by necessity, is only for the Maryland recordings. Acorn is going to try to nail the defendants on a section of the code which requires two-party consent to all electronic surveillance. The suit's going to open Acorn up to cross-complaints, to a broad discovery process, which will include the production of emails, correspondence, memos, internal documents, and also include depositions of employees. I mean, haven't these people ever heard of Whitewater and Ken Starr? O'Keefe and company also have a powerful procedural move to make. Because the Acorn employees and the defendants are from different states, the case can be removed to federal court. And this particular federal court is located in the conservative Fourth Circuit, giving the defendants a place to win on any appeal they may have of rulings or even the final judgment. But the Acorn lawsuit might get tossed out of court before that ever happens. Look, the only cause of action here is for the violation of the Maryland wiretapping statute. The suit says that O'Keefe and Giles, working together with Breitbart, exposed an oral communication using an electronic device. Now, that would be technically a violation of the act, but the statute also says that oral communication is any conversation or words spoken by a person in private conversation. Now, under the law, private means at least one of those parties had to have, quote, a reasonable expectation of privacy at the time and place where the conversation was recorded. The employees at Acorn had no reasonable expectation of privacy in what they said to members of the public who entered their offices. These conversations took place in a business office between Acorn employees and two customers. Therefore, the conversations are not private conversations as defined by the Maryland Wiretap Act.
I see what you mean.
Add this to the effect of the First Amendment, since O'Keefe, Giles, and Breitbart are media defendants in what you have, then, in scholarly law professor terms, is called a loser. But as we know from watching our courts, there are lots of judges on the bench who like to ignore the law and turn losers into winners. A former Acorn board member, Marcel Reed, who was kicked out of the organization because she was trying to look into the group's accounting, summed up the situation very well. Here's what she said, quote, "If we'd known all it took was a half-naked 20-year-old, we'd have done this a year and a half ago," Reed said.
Ha ha.
Thanks, Michael, for your perseverance. Back to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for the report, James. Play some rock and roll. It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
I'm so young and you're so old. This, my darling, I've been told. I don't care just what they say, 'cause forever I will pray. You and I will be as free as the birds up in the trees. Oh, please stand by me, Diana. Thrills I get when you hold me close.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Let's have our Friday review of the week. First, let's start with the brainwashed school children chanting praise to our glorious leader, Chairman Obama. Unbelievable. How about the current FCC so-called diversity czar, Mark Lloyd, and his thoughts on diversity?
Although affirmative action largely benefited white women, that affirmative action was largely viewed as something that was benefiting blacks, not necessarily any of the other racial groups, but by blacks, and that blacks had gotten enough, and that it was time to do something about this, and these affirmative action programs needed to be stopped.
But wait, there's more.
We have really, truly good white people in important positions. And the fact of the matter is that there are a limited number of those positions. And unless we are conscious of the need to have more people of color, gays, other people in those positions, we will not change the problem.
Can you believe this? Play the last one.
There are a few things, I think, more frightening in the American mind than dark-skinned black men.
This is the guy in charge of fairness? How about Mr. Gordon Brown, Prime Minister of England, denying there was a deal to release the Lockerbie bomber?
There was no deal. I can give you an absolute and unconditional assurance. There was no deal on oil. There was no deal on anything else. There was no double dealing. There was no conspiracy. There was no prior agreement or anything. This was a decision that we did not have control of because it was made under the law of our country by the devolved Scottish administration. And I just want to assure people there was no deal.
Does he sound convincing to you? How about Obama's entrance to the UN?
Welcome to the United Nations, His Excellency Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, and I invite him to address the Assembly. Your Excellency, you have the floor, sir.
Excellency? Let's not forget Mel Brooks, I mean Gaddafi's speech at the UN.
Why are we against Taliban? Why are we against Afghanistan? Who's Taliban? If Taliban wants to make a religious gate, okay, like the Vatican. Vatican does constitute a danger against us? No. It's a religious country, very peaceful. And if Taliban wants to make an Islamic Emirate. Who said that Taliban is an enemy? Those terrorists who hit New York, the city that were named, are they a Taliban? Are they from Afghan? They're neither Afghan nor Taliban. Then why Iraq? Why Afghanistan?
That's not all Gaddafi said.
The Somalis are not pirates. We are the pirates. We went there, we took their economic zones, we took their fish, we took their wealth. Libya, India, and Japan, America, any country in the world, you just name it. All of us, we're all pirates. We all went there to the territorial water of Somalis, the economic zones, and then we took, and the Somalis are protecting their own national, protecting their own fish, the substance of their food. They have become pirates because they are defending the food of their children, the food of their babies.
Not pirates? Is he for real? They're not pirates?
Medicine should not be sold, should not be a commercial business. You should make a declaration that medicine should be free of a charge, that vaccination should be given free to children, so that capitalist countries or capitalist companies make the viruses and make the vaccinations, and they want to make a profit. And why don't we make it free of a charge? Why don't we give it to free?
He wants free medical care? What a week. We're watching these people try and destroy our nation and all we hold dear, yet the midstream media keeps us focused on who is left standing and survivor. It's astounding. There are many questions about Obama and his background that haven't been answered, and more importantly, what are his actual beliefs? Joining us today is Dr. Peter Breggin, who says of all things, the Obama administration is a faith-based administration. Interesting, Dr. Breggin. What do you mean by faith-based?
It came to me as a revelation, in this case delivered through my wife, Ginger. Obama has a faith-based administration. In fact, he ran a faith-based campaign. How else to explain the way in which people felt so inspired by this relatively young man with so few accomplishments to his name? They had faith in him. How else to explain America's willingness to dismiss the influence of Reverend Wright, the hate-mongering, anti-American preacher who guided Obama through much of his adult life, right up to and into the election campaign? How else to explain people voting for change without any specificity or even content? Faith in Obama. Once in office, the fullness of his faith-based presidency immediately came forth. He declared a financial emergency, and Congress and the people believed in him and accepted his ill-planned, fiscally disastrous stimulus package. When he left no time to read legislative bills, Congress voted on blind faith. In his recent health care address to Congress, he exhorted us to believe he could cover tens of millions of additional people while improving overall health care without spending a dime more. Ultimately, he asked us, like God asked Abraham, to sacrifice our children and our children's children on the altar of fiscal irresponsibility, and we prepared to slit their throats. But unlike Abraham, no angel appeared to stop this barbarous act of generational fiscal genocide. Now he further tests our faith by creating a system of czars answerable only to him and to no one else, and especially not to us. And his minions tell us the good news, that the economy is improving and jobs have been saved, even as the economy continues to tank and unemployment reaches record highs. It's a lot to take on faith. While we begin to grow disillusioned, in public speech upon public speech, he tries to inspire us with renewed faith in him. But being mere mortal, he easily becomes overexposed. Ascending high above ordinary politics and above America's checkered past as he sees it, he tells the world of friends and foes alike to place trust in his good intentions. By means of mere words, self-critical and conciliatory words, he will make America a more moral nation and bring peace on earth. He especially wants China to trust in a new economic order that transcends reality, a kind of turning water into wine, in which unsound fiscal policies bring forth a sound currency.
What are the religious implications of this worship of Obama the man?
The same people who want us to have faith in Obama often ridicule those who have faith in God. We are asked to have faith in a man, but not in a deity. Faith goes a long way to explain Obama's success. People need faith. Even young people caught up in their own adolescent smugness need faith. Even the most materialistic progressives need faith. Bereft of a belief in God, they search elsewhere for spiritual sustenance and find it in progressivism and in Obama. Spiritual yearning is built into our nature. We want to trust something or someone outside ourselves. That's why atheistic progressives display such unbridled faith in their leaders and in the ability of an intelligentsia to plan and to bring forth a better world. That's why people who ridicule the idea of heaven so often bring ruination by trying to implement heaven on earth. That's why the mere mention of science or research sends progressives into spasms of genuflections. That's why they worship the earth and even its animals at the expense of people. Sometimes they call the earth by the name Gaia, the concept that our planet has the qualities of a living organism, something akin to a god. People need faith. While ridiculing the idea of faith in the unseen God, they place their lives in the hands of an invisible man whose true identity forever remains elusive and even mysterious. Rejecting religion as a cult, they adopt the cult of personality. They put their faith in Obama.
What kind of change in attitude do you think we need?
It's time to hold Obama accountable like any other man and to subject him to the same checks and balances as any other president. It's time to realize that America has no rulers, only representatives beholden to us. And it's a time to put our faith back into the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the values of our founders. Ultimately, we need to renew our faith in this one nation under God that has brought forth so much good onto this continent and into this world. That brings us to what I call the primary principles. The refrain of my weekly report: protect freedom, take responsibility at all times, express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities, become a source of love. You can find me and listen to all these reports and download the transcripts at Breggin.com. That's BREGGIN.com.
Thanks, Dr. Breggin. Now, would you believe that this week at the UN, in addition to the Hitler of Iran speaking, in addition to the dictator of Venezuela, they invited the biggest racist in Africa, Robert Mugabe, to speak?
The fact that Africa, a major geographical region, remains underrepresented and without a permanent seat on the Security Council is not only a serious and antiquated anomaly whose time for address is overdue, it is also clearly an untenable violation of the principle and practice of democracy in international relations.
Oh, but it wasn't a violation of democratic principles to kick all the white farmers out of your country and let your people starve when they took over the land.
The Western countries, in particular the United States and the European Union, who imposed illegal sanctions against Zimbabwe, have, to our surprise, refuse to remove those sanctions. We wonder what their motives are.
That's right. Attack the West, not your own racism. And this is the face of the useless UN today, worse than the League of Nations. Play music for me now. I feel I'm spacing out. Give me some rock. That's nice. What is this? Oh, the Sea of Love.
The Sea of Love.
Bill Phillips. Who's Bill Phillips? Who was the girl actor, the woman actress in this movie with Al Pacino? She was still good looking when they did the movie. Ellen Barkin. Whatever happened to her? I often think about, she's still operating somewhere? She's trying to nail another Madoff like guy like her. She always marries like perfume magnates or whatever. All right, turn it off. Headache already. Migraine. I got to tell you what happened last night. I'm going to back off into a personal now. forgive me my personal indulgences every once in a while. You're not going to believe this. Remember I was complaining about ears, humming in my ears for a couple of days last week? Really, it was like I was inside a swimming pool, you know, like that, like something over your ears. Okay, I had that for days. So I go to an ear doctor last Friday, and he looks in my ears, and he takes the opportunity to clean my ears, which was disgusting. I didn't ask him to clean them. I just look at him to see what's in these. He says, well, while I'm in there, and he pulled out wax that looked like I'm sorry to bore you, it looked like the size of a small fly. So I said, that's what caused the humming? He said, no, but I couldn't see beyond it. Now that I can, there's nothing wrong with you. So I said, okay, great. All right, so you go home. I relaxed on a four-day weekend. I took time off from radio, and it went away. It truly did. It was all tension. It was nerves, right? Something happened inside me. Nerves do get to you with what I've been through from the lib attacks. Wait a minute. I swear as God is my witness, you should be struck dead by lightning if I'm lying, as they used to say in Brooklyn, even though I'm from the Bronx. You should be struck dead by lightning, not me if I'm lying. But anyway, it's an old bad joke. I swear, last night, 10:30, 11 o'clock, it was a sort of like hot night out here in California. I go out to walk the dog, and there were like moths. It was so hot, like moths were flying out of the shrubbery next to the front door. It was like eerie. And one of them, I bend down to put the leash on the dog. A moth flies in my left ear. I swear to God, there's a moth. Like, did you ever get a moth in here and try to get it out and it won't come out? And you grab it and you can't grab nothing? Nothing. Can't grab anything. And it's flapping its damn wings. And I'm freaking that it's going to burrow into my brain. I swear to God. And I'm digging and nothing's coming. I'm saying, God, why are you doing this to me? What's the message? Why is there a moth in my ear? I swear to God, and I'm digging and pulling, and I say, I got it, nothing, and it's still flipping, flapping these big wings inside my ear, and I'm freaking, it's going to go in, oh, God, darn, and I don't see, I'm pulling and yanking, and I'm throwing on the ground, and I look, and there's nothing on the ground, so I got a freak show. I get the cell phone number of the ear doctor, and I call him, and he was nice enough to take the call. I told him what happened. I said, I don't see the moth parts on the ground, but it's not flapping in my ear anymore. I said, could it get in my head and penetrate my brain? He said, no, it can't. Well, I got to tell you the truth. I mean, I put a Q-tip in there. There was a teeny bit of blood. I'm not trying to, like, gross you out here. So wait a minute. Now I put the whole thing aside, and I said, you know what? God's speaking to me. I still have – I'm a highly educated man, but – and there's a big but. I'm mystically oriented about events. I still have like a primitive part of me that is a mystical streak, like dream interpretation. I guess that's from the hippie days, seeing spirits and talking to spirit healers. But I didn't get it from that. I had it earlier than that. I had the spirit thing back in Harlem when I went to all black Abyssinian churches, and I was the only white guy because I used to like to get into the spirit of the thing. And I felt the spirit more there than I did in the Episcopal church or the synagogue. So what can I tell you? There's always been something spirits. So therefore, I said to myself after the moth experience in the ear, what is God telling me? Why is God doing this to me? What is the meaning of a losing my hearing like in a drum last week, and this week a moth flying? And it's like one in a billion that this would happen to me. How could a moth get in my ear and why? God's telling me something. Now, I know what it is. I have very, very strong suspicion about what it is, but I can't tell you. Now, we'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. Florida, Trent, welcome to the Savage Nation. Trent, what's on your mind?
I just recently found you, Michael Savage. It's a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you. Very nice. You don't mind my comedic in the political arena movements, do you?
No, sir. Not at all. The first time I listened to you, I was torn. I'm like, all right, is this guy a nut or is he right on? I've been listening. I kept listening. I realized that 99.9% of what you say is truth, actuality. And
see, that's the problem. Where's the 0.1% again that we disagree on?
Well, I'm not even sure. I think it's just...
I'm joking. Come on, I'm just kidding. So what is it that you called about, Trent?
I called because I recently found out about a week ago I'm about to have a kid. My wife's pregnant. I'm all excited.
Ah, congratulations. An American breeder. Thank you. God bless you for having the guts to be married and have children.
There's about five of us left, so.
Yeah. There's five white men left willing to have children.
I know. I'm Caucasian. I'm American. I stand up for everything America's great for, and there's about five or six of us. Anyway, I heard you talk about...
Well, I bet you can even hunt, Trent. I have the feeling you could even shoot a rifle.
I guarantee I shoot a rifle. I married into a family of great American rednecks, and we go out and hunt. We fish. We clean. We kill. It's a great thing, sir. It's a great thing to be an American.
So you're having a baby, and you want me to comment upon what, Trent?
I've heard you talk about your book you wrote about raising kids, and every time you...
All right, you know what? I'm going to send you a copy of Healing Children Naturally. It's a copy that every parent should have in the world. See, now there's a book that is important to have if you're raising children. I wrote it in 1981, published in 81. I revised it a number of years ago. It's on my website, michaelsavage.com. It has, you know, recipes for children and when they get sick, what to do diet-wise and herb-wise and vitamin-wise. I believe it's a reference book that should be on every parent's shelf, everybody. This transcends politics. It's a brilliant book. This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.